here except for Daniel and Steve. And Kirk is on his way. And Mark, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Oh, sorry. 1832.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We can't approve the minutes, right?
No.
Okay. Firefighter recognitions.
We do not have any.
Oh.
I know. We're just
speed
right through everything.
Okay, how about you do have a monthly status report.
We do
surely.
Have a status report. Our current number is 1,112. That's up 122 since last board meeting. We're averaging about 4 a day. Last year on this day, it was 1014, so that's up by 108. So significant.
Yeah.
How that could be attributed to our wildland fire activity for the year or multiple reasons. 13 calls were not in Stansbury, Lake Point, or Erta, which means we went to I-80 or the Knowles or Rally Road or multiple locations. Significant events. We had our open house on the 7th, which went just fine. I think everybody had a good time. I attended Grantsville's the next Saturday to get some ideas about next year. We were going to burn a dollhouse. I don't know if you guys ever experienced that a couple of years ago. And we went on the fire on Nelson Peak instead. So that took our weekend. Today we had another dump fire. That's always enjoyable. You probably heard about that.
I saw the smoke.
I don't know why they call you guys.
It's still it's our a area.
It is. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's just suppression. Yeah.
It's a feel good to have.
Oh.
Because they have water now, they can take care of almost most things in-house.
I think the black column of smoke is what...
Well, I think it's
scary.
Public, and it is, and it is a toxin. But I think it's the public calling in more than anything else.
And they said today they almost burned up a piece of equipment.
Yeah, the compactor got stuck and had to pull it out with the track hole.
Yeah.
Because of all the smoke in the air, the schools... kept all the students inside today too.
Because of the smoke
from the fire.
So I heard it covered.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It came down the layer over town.
Yep.
Well, so we will do what we continue to do what we can out there.
Their remedy now is they're no longer going to accept that waste.
That's a good idea.
So they want to bury it as deeply as they can bury it, irrigate it, bury it again and irrigate it again and
mud.
Die in place. Let the mud come over and take care of it. So they said the money they get for it.
Which waste?
Well,
it
looks like six people in that one, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, they said that the money they generate from that waste isn't worth a fire every 3.5 months.
Yeah. Plus, we would agree.
What waste was it?
So it's the carpet and the foam from Purple. So what it does is it's with the wind. It starts to spark, and so it's and then with everything in there, the toxins and everything in it, the off gassing, so it spontaneously combusts when the wind comes in. And it's always out of a south wind, you guys.
It's always
when it comes through the valley right there. So
and that's what they've told us. They said as they drive over it with their compactors, it's the friction and it creates static electricity.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, hopefully. Within the next few months, you won't have another one. So, like I said, their remedies to not accept that waste any longer.
Good.
Well, they're frozen anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. We had 30 acres out Rally Road near the beginning of October. Dead Cow Point is what it was called. 281 acres up Nelson Peak last weekend. And if you hadn't known, Captain Arnold got injured in that fire.
I didn't know that.
He got hit in the face with a draft hose, large diameter hose.
The hard
suction.
And knock him down?
and knocked him down, and we had to go to the hospital. So we had to go to U of U for quite a number of hours. He went through a battery of tests. So I apologize for not informing people. That whole weekend was a blur.
Yeah. What started with that fire? Did they know her?
Tannerite. Mm. Shooting targets.
Costly 2 seconds of fun.
Yes, exactly. That fire reached upwards of $1 million. So, don't know how that will fare out for him. But Captain Arnold is okay. He did not lose sight or vision or anything like that. It just hit him in the face and he knocked him down.
Wow.
And can't leave any work time either.
Yeah, he didn't lose. Great. He refused to lose any work time. We gave him the option of having the next set off.
Sounds like Kurt.
So yeah. We had 2 garage fires and C-shift last week. Neither of them extended in or garage vehicle fires in garages. Neither of them extended to the structures.
Excellent.
Well, the city mutual aid, we had that last week. We had a homeless tent go up in flames in Middle Canyon. We had the UFA mutual aid come here, which you all saw. The emails out about that was really appreciated. Chief Neal's service for you have served with Chief Neal. That was a big deal for this county. You can tell. Accomplishments: we had an IROC return from Idaho. We had an IROC assignment in Yellow Lake, and Chief Brown completed his engine boss task book up there. And so we're getting all that paperwork wrapped up with the IROC assignments and with the EMAC assignments. Our total kind of what we're expecting to bring in from all that is about $310,000. So that's a really good a good summer.
Yellow Lake is not anywhere near contained, right?
No.
Snows.
Yeah, snow.
Put it out.
Who's waiting?
What did they say started that?
People.
Was it?
That's what they're saying. People started it. They're not doing much to suppress it.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Well, it's in bark
beetle killed stuff.
Yeah.
And all the way up to Mirror Lake is like crazy. So I wouldn't be surprised.
It needs the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has for 30 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad we were there to support that for enough time that we got some recognition out of it and some good usage of his task work. And so,
that's great.
And that was kind of a favor from FFSL saying that, because I made the call, I said, hey, before this year ends, I'd like to get us 2 engine boss signed off, and they called us and said, hey, if you want to come up to Yellow Lake, we can do that. So they took a 7-day assignment, and that worked out really well. Chipper days, dumpster days, that all got completed in the last month. We've been going through the budget process, as you see up here. Cassandra's going to talk more about that in a few minutes. Planning. We've ordered a Type 1-3 engine for delivery in January. You'll see more about that here in a few minutes. We have a grant-funded project to put skid mount pumps on 3 of our apparatus that don't currently have pumps or suppression. So we're partnering with Tuella Tech for those builds. So that's going to be kind of an exciting change. Andrew is getting his hands in that. We've got fall events. She'll talk about that. Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I'm leaving tomorrow for a real vacation. So I'll be gone for a week.
Nice. Where are you going?
I am going back to Tennessee, visit friends, and then I will wrap up the trip by going to see my parents. And so, you know, that's not the that's the Yeah. trying to still get them into a facility, and that's difficult. But I'll have at least 5 or 6 days working around, just seeing my friends.
Was your hometown affected by the floods?
They were. It was not. The flooding and everything missed them by about 50 miles.
Thank God.
So it fell on that side of the Continental Divide. And so they have a lot of downstream effects that dumped into Douglas Lake, which is a giant area of water reclamation.
They didn't code it right.
They were. That's all just downstream effects, not any of the major flooding. So I hope to go on a vacation. I don't want to get sucked into all that stuff. So, all right.
Awesome. Okay, did everybody have a chance to review the minutes from September 18th?
We did, yes.
Yes, I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the minutes are approved.
You can cancel.
Buck just left.
No, yeah. That's a group too.
Okay, we'll go to Kim. Grant Projects Monthly Report.
Okay. So the Community Wildfire Development Grant that we have, the seasonals, that's coming to a close for the seasonals, not the grant. We're about 78% of used funds, so we're kind of right on track for the year. So that's kind of nice to know that we're on track for that. We've got about 2-3 months left with it, so that equals about right.
Are they still on shift, Kim?
They
terminate on the first.
So the way the hours work, Julius ended in the first part of October, but Rachel is still with us since she was hired for 6 weeks. And so during when Chief wrote the grant, there was more funding in there, so it was at least 2 or maybe more. And so we looked at the funds, and there was enough to add her on for another month.
Good.
So she's finishing out some projects, installing the fire danger signs at the different stations, and kind of following up with some of the Chipper Day assignments, and following up with any of the information that we got from trying to do surveys for people's homes. So she's kind of wrapping all that stuff up and kind of doing a projection of what we could possibly approach next year on the wildfire defense grant. So that would start again with the seasonals in April. And so they have to fit in the parameters so that we don't have to do benefits with them. So yeah, Rachel helped on the Ogre Fire, what was it called?
West Ogre.
Yeah, so that weekend she came and helped and assisted on that. So her job description still is helping with the wildfire defense grant. But if there's any wildfires, she responds to that. So I think that was really beneficial and helpful this year. I've heard from some of the captains that they were really appreciative of having that extra crew on wildfires. There was one up on Drew Bay. I had Sean that was with us for a while do a write-up on it, and they were the first ones up there. And I really think without them being there first, and then there was some gravel pit, extra help that they came out. But I think that we could have looked at something a little bit worse if they weren't there. So I think that they were really helpful up on Drew Bay this year. So that's just me, but I think that they were. So I had Sean do a write-up on it. So he did a pretty good write-up on it. So the SAFER grant, which is the volunteer and retention, that has 67% of the used funds. So we're kind of, I feel like, right on track for that as well. We are doing the class A uniforms, and then we're also looking at possibly amending some more of the grant to help assist in other areas. We looked at possibly amending some funds for radios, but we can't. It's not allowed through the grant. So try to have it work where we can. The mental health grant from the public safety, we have that funding for a year. And so there's a report due that I'll have done by Monday, or by Sunday, it's due on the 20th. Blomquist and Hell came out and they discussed with us the usage. I don't know if you remember that we for a year decided with some of the grant funding to use Blomquist as mental health. They said the usage is just right spot on, not too much, not too little. It's what they usually expect. Susie Evans came out and reported to Chief Nunn, Chief Brown, and I, and it seemed like there was normal usage and it was being used well. So I think it's being receptive, so they can call whenever they want to and kind of have a meeting, or they can have sessions where they, you know, if they feel like something's affecting them. So it can be immediate help or it can be kind of down the road. So it was good to hear that. Chief's going to talk about the DARA grant later on, and we met with the DARA folks today, so it was good to meet with them today. We have Wildland PPE grant, and so I'm working on, I got all the quotes for that. Rachel's helping me with get sizes for everybody. So with that funding, it's around $8,700, so we'll get the most needed first, and then there's some budget that's allocated, and we'll get everybody else some Wildland PPE, and then we thought about maybe amending the SAFER grant to get some more coverage of that so we can do some deployments where they have a little bit more of the uniforms for responding to the PPE, responding to that. Yesterday, Chief and I met for Wasatch Front Regional Council for the Community Development Block Grant. We are working with Lake Point on that. So we are looking at, and Chief will probably talk, Buck's not going to talk about it. Chief will probably talk about it. So there's a development of Marriott that's going on that we are looking at possibly helping with being able to respond to such a big building. So I'll let Chief talk about that. Yesterday we did talk to another gentleman at Wasatch Front Regional Council, Wayne Bennion. So the CMAC funding, which, sorry, I need to explain what it is, congestion mitigation air quality. So I thought I applied for what I was supposed to apply for, but there was one through Wasatch Front Regional Council and there's one through UDOT. And luckily we brought it up yesterday because yesterday was the last day you could put in temp, a letter of intent. And so we got that in. So that one's for $450,000. We're hoping to go towards the truck that we're getting from the DARA grant. So, and like Chief said, Cheaper Days was a success, 22 individual homes. And then there were two homes that had huge piles when they showed up. And so Rachel's kind of worked through with trying to get a burn permit for it through Trevor with
down there. Trying to find out how to best mitigate it.
Yep.
Might go over with a little skid steer and a trailer and pick them up and haul them to dump for them, or maybe even burn them.
So she actually got permission today from Trevor to burn them.
Oh, she did?
She did. Oh. So okay. Some people with their task books might get some sign-offs on their task books. So she's been working on that. So that's nice. Rick Grant, Chief reached out to see if we're still in the running for that. They're still reviewing it. So that one is the one where it would put Knox Box in the whole county and would give us some more inspectors. And then the community impact board that is with the CBDG. So we can also look at that for building. So we could look at that for Lake Point. So maybe it could be a grant or a loan for the Lake Point Fire Station. So we just need to kind of see what they need for that. And that's not due until February. So we got to dig deep for that. So anyway, sorry, that's a lot of this.
That's awesome.
That tells them all the things that you're working on. So that's good.
Yep, it was great.
We'll get that.
All right, is there any public comment? Just like
took out the eight of
yeah. All right. Bill's review. I don't know.
Since Steve isn't here, I will do it. Did you guys all have a chance to review the bills and financials?
Yes.
Any questions? As our backup signer, Scott is going to take over signing checks for right now. So he's got a big project tonight.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
That's a nice big stack.
That's our middle of the month. So. Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
Okay. No contract review, old business, 2025 budget discussion.
Okay. So I sent you guys a memo of what we are proposing to do. So I'm going to read part of it a little bit to the public as well, so they kind of know what's going on. And then I will explain my brain over there. A few years ago when Chief Nunn came to the department, he talked a little bit about performance-based budgeting. And at the time, I don't think really any of us had kind of heard of that term or knew what it was. And so I've been researching a little bit. And then at the conference I went to in Florida this year, they really pushed it hard. It's the new way of budgeting for government agencies to help best serve your budget, best serve your district, and best serve your public. And it also provides a lot more transparency to the public of what are we spending our money on. Okay, so that's kind of how we came about with this whole concept. It wasn't something that we just dreamed of on our own. So I don't know if you guys have had a chance to read through the memo or not, but so we are proposing changing the way that we do our budget. Right now it's a line item budget, and we want to change it to a performance-based budget. This will enhance our processes and our budgetary systems. The performance-based budgeting is a budget method that bases budgetary decisions on the outcomes that need to be achieved. It helps organizations improve data-driven decision-making and identify areas for budget adjustments. It links resource allocation to performance results to improve the effectiveness of public spending. So rather than just saying, you know, we think we need to spend this much on this thing, it's really based on what are our priorities, what are we trying to achieve, and are we using it on the right priorities? Are our priorities where they need to be? The goal is to motivate our employees and our board to produce positive results by incentivizing the agency to produce measurable results to justify our spending. So, again, are we spending our money on the correct priorities? Okay. It's become more popular in recent years due to budgetary pressures and shrinking economies, and it helps us work towards our mission, vision statement, and our values that we worked on this year, and it supports our strategic plan. And as we go through it today, you'll see that it's all based off of our strategic plan that Chief already presented. So what's the difference? So currently we use what's called line item budgeting, where we literally have lines, and we have wages for full-time firefighters, wages for part-time, repairs and maintenance for apparatus, repairs and maintenance, insurance. I mean, we have lines, and we have a set budget amount in each line. And then throughout the year, we say, okay, well, we're over this line, we're under this one, so we need to add 50,000 more to this one. And we can move 20 from this one and put it up into here where we need it. That's line item budgeting. It is easier to track your money, where your money is spent. It lists everything by category, which makes it easier to track where your money is spent and identify deviations. But this type of budgeting encourages incremental thinking, is what they call it. And each line item is given the same weight or importance. So based on the line item budget, because they're just listed in categories, you don't really know what are our priorities, which, you know, are wages more important than repairs and maintenance, or is that more important than community outreach? We don't know, because nothing, it's all given the same weight in this type of budget. Let's see. It outlines the items on which money will be spent, but provides little or no information on how it translates to performance objectives within the strategic plan. So the type of budgeting that we are used to doesn't really tell us how we are meeting our goals. It just literally says where we're spending our money. Okay. So for our 2025 budget, we are proposing a change, which for all of us is going to take a change in our mindset and a change in the way we think about our budget and what we want to do. It's going to require increased efforts on all of our parts to gather and input the data needed to measure our goals and update our priorities. It requires buy-in from the board, our administrative staff, the firefighters, and the public. When I was explaining it to Chief Brown a few days ago, you know, one of the comments he said was, well, the other way seems easier. It seems like it's easier to track. It's easier. Well, it is easier, but it's not always the best. And what the research is showing is that more government agencies are switching over to this type of a budget system because it's a better way of doing it. The entire state of Nevada is on it right now. Louisiana, multiple other agencies that I've, you know, if you Google it, you can see some of them have budgets that are 500 pages long because it's explaining theirs. I gave you it 4 pages right now, so you're welcome. Okay, so what does that mean for us? So I'm going to explain my brain here a little bit. So, what was it, 2 weeks ago? A week ago?
It's not just her brain anymore.
Yeah, it's going all over the place now. So, what I did was I took the strategic plan that we had and all of the priorities and our goals that we have from now until, what do we put it, till 2030-ish in the strategic plan. And they're all... That's what these are. All these sticky notes are our goals and things that we need to do, purchases we need to make, programs we need to start. What do we need to do? So they were just all up here in random order. And then the captains and the chiefs came in and I said, okay, make them categories. Put them in categories. I let them do it all. So they came up with 8 different categories and we grouped them together. And then from those groups, we prioritized the item in each category. So you can see in, like, for instance, apparatus, one of the goals that we have is hiring a fleet mechanic. And it's our highest priority in apparatus. And we'll explain that here in just a minute. So we put that at the top. And then we kind of work our way down. And we did that through all the categories. Then we took all the main categories and put them in order right here. So now that we have all of our individual goals and priorities, which ones are we going to start with? So what we came up with as a group, so for those who haven't seen it or can't see it, our categories that we came up with were personnel, a fire prevention division, stations, ambulance service, equipment, apparatus, wildland division, and a counseling and mental health program. Okay, so those are our 8 categories that we have. So in priority order, we decided that out of all of these things that we have up here, our top priority right now is hiring a fleet mechanic. So that put apparatus at the top of our list. Some of the reasons that we've decided on the reason that what we, sorry, I just got done with a, 3-day conference and we just got back an hour ago.
Oh, wow.
So I can't talk. I tried to get out of the car with my seatbelt still on. It just didn't work.
You tried to get out of this
confounding thing.
So, okay. So a fleet mechanic. Well, think about what we do. So right now, our captains and our firefighters, all of our crews, how much of their time are they spending right now on apparatus? Repairs, maintenance, tracking them down, getting inspections done, getting new tires put on, figuring out electrical problems. They're firefighters. They're not necessarily great mechanics. So if you think about all the time that they spend doing that and the amount of money that we're spending on third-party vendors because we don't know everything, we could put that money into a fleet mechanic that would be here specifically to maintain our apparatus, do the repairs. That would free up time for our crews to do what they're supposed to be doing, which is their main goal, fire suppression and prevention, working on their training, you know, doing the things. Captains can get back to being captains, and, you know, maybe one of them wouldn't have reports that are, you know, 3 months old that are still due. So, you know, it just,
and
it,
as an example in here, we had trouble identifying, it looked like we bought 9 tires for one vehicle.
I'm like,
that didn't happen. So where did they go? So tracking and maintenance, and so that's...
Yeah, so if we had one person doing it, they would know, okay, well, this truck just had these tires on, and it was from this specific vendor. So rather than going to a different vendor, we need to go back to where we got them. Is there a warranty on them? Do they need to be replaced or just repaired, or, you know, whatever the situation is. So that was one of our first priorities. Then we kind of put Mental Health and Wildland Division on the same level, partly because mental health program is very important to us. We've got to take care of our firefighters. However, it's not that much of a budget impact as far as expenses. So high priority, low budget, so we can put it up at the top. The Wildland Division can be self-sustaining. So we've also got that at the top, because by having a self-sustaining program that can also bring in additional revenue, Chief talked about the fact that our deployments this year are bringing in about $300,000. Additional revenue can help us support our other goals. Okay? So that's where we have these here. One thing with the Wildland Division, you want me to bring up this?
I don't know if we're ready for that.
Okay.
But.
So we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. But you see it up there. It's up around. Don't move it. Tell me if you want to move it. Okay. So then equipment. Under equipment, our highest priority right now is radio replacements and putting our equipment on and our radios on a replacement rotation schedule. So rather than having to replace all the radios at once or all of the PPE or all the SCBAs at one time, everything gets put on a schedule. So we do 10 this year, and then in 2 years we do another 10, and so on. And that is another thing that in some of the fire-specific classes I took at this conference, the Government Finance Officers Association conference, was they talked about fire departments needing to have their apparatus on a rotation schedule. A lot of them, and I don't know how they do it, but they have their frontline apparatus for 10 years, and those apparatus get moved to reserve for 10 years, and then they're gone, and they're replaced. And they have apparatus on a replacement, like every 2 years they're buying another vehicle. But you have to build up your capital in order to do that first. So right now, we have to replace our radios, because as you guys have heard, with Utah Communications, all this reprogramming that's going on, our replacement schedule is next week, 29th and 30th, mm-hmm. and November 1st. After that, we'll probably lose 60 to 70% of our radios. They will no longer be able to be in service because of the change in programming that's happening. So that's a pretty high priority for us. Stations, you can see we've got facility maintenance person at the top. If we can, we may try to hire one person to do apparatus and stations, depending on qualifications and what we can find. But we still think apparatus is a higher priority than stations. So that's our first thing. And again, for the same kind of reasons, you know, it was really funny. Our ice machine broke. What, 2 months ago now?
6 to 8 weeks ago.
And we've had a really difficult time getting vendors to come out and repair it. And we had the one that came out, what, 2 or 3 times and finally gave us our money back, because we figure they just don't want to do it anymore because they can't figure out what's wrong with it. And I was kind of joking with them, and I said, okay, well, if we have to get a replacement one, can we please have it professionally installed and not firefighter installed? And Chief was like, well, who installed it? I said, well, Chief Brown did.
So, and I knew that, you know, but rather than him having to spend his time again installing another ice maker, we get someone that has time to do it.
Oh.
I'm not saying you did a bad job.
You're a great ice maker installer.
You did a great job.
You have a future in ice maker installation.
We're going to say it's a fault with the ice maker itself and not your installation. But that's just an example. Okay. And again, we can let our firefighters and crews, I mean, obviously they'll still, you know, do some of the cleaning and minor stuff, but all of our major stuff, we need to have someone else do. And then along with that, we've got extermination of bats. What was this one? Oh, an electronic signboard that we're getting on a grant. Cleaning up the landscaping and putting Firewise landscaping in all the stations like we did out here out front. So that's kind of at the top of our list. Under stations, we've got our fire prevention division. And again, this is going to be another one of our self-sustaining programs. So at the top of that priority, we've got billing for services, which is something that we are starting to do. We have officially billed for our first permit. We have one under our belt now. It was a very big struggle getting it recorded, but we got it paid. So we're very happy about that. But that's just the start of billing for our services now, our permits, our inspections, and all that stuff. So along with that, I've been asked, well, how can we get more help and more personnel? I said, well, there's your answer. Bill for your services. Get these things going that will become self-sustaining to help support the rest of your stuff. So then under that, we've also got hire some help for our fire marshal. And that's something that we're trying to do off a grant, but you have to just be in the mindset that a grant is not considered funding. Grants are a good way to start a program up and get things going, but it's not a permanent method of funding. And that's just another mindset change that we have to have. Under fire prevention, we've got the ambulance service. So with the ambulance service, ultimately our end goal is to have a transporting service, right? But in order to do that, the first thing that we have to do is train paramedics. So we've successfully done that with two of our members right now. So we need to continue to do more. With that also comes establishing our community paramedicine program. And we don't have to have a transport ambulance for that. But it's just another thing to bolster our ambulance program to get us to our ultimate goal, which is transporting service. And then at the end, and we're not saying that they are the lowest priority, but right now, they are...
We still spend 82% of our funds.
82% of our budget is still on personnel. So as you know, in the last 3 years, we've done wage increases along with COLA's step plans, increase the amount of benefits or the benefits that we are providing. We added the short and long-term disability. We added the vision insurance. So we want to maintain that and keep that. But we are going to take a shift from putting all of our budget into personnel and move it to our highest priority right now, which what the admin staff considers is apparatus. And so that's kind of the direction we're going. Now, I wrote it up for you. So I want you guys to review it a couple of times before the next meeting. So at our next meeting, the other half of our brain here, this is where Kaylee and I were trying to put all of that into actual numbers and put an actual budget to it. And how do we record it? What if we get this type of a purchase or this type of an expense? How do we report it so we get measurable results out of it? So instead of just recording everything as full-time wages, now we have to split it up into these wages go into fire prevention. These wages went specifically to wildland. These wages went here. Because if we don't do that, then we won't be able to get our measurements and find out if apparatus should be our highest priority. Things like that. So that's where we're going. We don't have an actual budget number for you to look at tonight, but we wanted you to know the direction we were going and what our priorities, and when I say our, I mean the chiefs, the captains, the admin staff, Kaylee, Kim, Buck, you know, we've all kind of gone through this. The crews that have come in, they've all looked at it and scratched their heads, and so the captains are explaining to them what this is, and so it's getting through there. So I want you guys to look at these and let me know, let Chief know, what do you think? Are your priorities the same as our priorities? Because, I mean, we all need to be in this together. So if you guys think that there's something that should be different, we need to know. So, comments, questions. It's very overwhelming, but it's very colorful. This is, when I did the ambulance feasibility study, this is how I did it. It was a sticky, and I still have a bag of sticky notes in my office that I'm going to hand off to someone one day.
I think it's admirable that, you know, the easy way, which is what we've been doing, you're looking at other ways to do it, and something that might help the organization more. I think it's admirable that, you know, you're tackling this. It's also interesting that personnel is at the bottom of the list, but the number one priority and the number one program is a personnel issue.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. So, and again, that's where, you know, Kaylee and I have to think of things, and the staffing, you have to get your mind in a different position. It may be a position that we're hiring, but what is it really for?
Yeah.
It's for apparatus. So their wages are actually going to come out of apparatus.
Right.
The fire marshal's wages are now going to start coming out of fire prevention, because we have to know at the end of the day, how much is the fire prevention division actually costing us, and how much are we getting in return? You know, Chief, do you want to explain your 1 = 4?
On each of the fire prevention division and the mental health program,
so here and here.
Those are both prevention elements, and with prevention, the $1 into prevention equals $4 in return. So that's your hope. And as you look at white papers, as you look at fire service bulletins, that is commonly a 1 = 4 reference. You need those measurements that we're still working on to be able to quantify that. And I think the best thing that will come out of some of this is that we will be attributing, you know, where the dollars for the fire marshal go into the fire prevention division. Is that meeting all of our measurements and all of our requirements? So I think that we'll start to see some new trends and new evaluation methods.
It's also called ROI, cost versus worth.
Yes, your return on investment, cost versus worth.
So, Chief, have you done this in the past at others?
No.
No.
This is a master's degree theoretical. That's what that is. And so a class, yes. An actual... no, but introduction, and then Cassandra saw it over the summer, and she's like, you were talking about this, we should just do this. And so this is a year where we are unable to increase our taxes. So I thought this is probably the best year to do this, is that we're focused more on the actual process rather than increasing our budget, and you guys are swamped and overwhelmed by questions from the public doing, you know, why are we raising taxes and things like that. So I think this is a really good time to do the conversion.
This is actually how our budgets broke down when I was in supervision at the depot.
Yeah, it's
So this is a new
and it's
idea.
Not brand new. No, when I was looking it up, they said that this has actually been around since like the 70s. Yeah. No. It's just not. It took a long time for it to become popular and vetted that it was actually the way to do things. So, and I think also by doing this type of a structure, it's going to put us again at the forefront of Tooele County. I mean, I don't know of anyone else out here that's doing anything like this, you know, so.
Yeah, like you said, I'm used to this. This isn't a leap off
good.
The edge,
good.
Edge here. So,
good.
But, you know, the one thing that you really stress on this is you want to spend close to your 100%.
Meaning?
Your cost for the year, your budget for each item. You want to be as close to 100% as you can.
Mm-hmm.
I had a $6 million budget, and 1% of my budget went to training, and I overspent my budget every year for 4 or 5 years where I got a slush fund in there, and people didn't spend their budgets. I went after theirs to get the remainder of it. So you got to watch how you jockey this around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's doable, mm-hmm. but that's going to take on all of our part to stay on top of this.
Right.
The public isn't going to understand this. They're going to start jumping up and down when we start putting the numbers out there.
Well, and I think it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of public education and explaining why we're doing it, why we have the priorities that we do. And also, you know, kind of just letting them know, you know, we are really trying to be more fiduciary minded. On the stack of bills, when Chief got done signing them, there was his note on the top of them said, "The objective is no more bills." And I said, "Well, good luck with that." But, you know, what he was really meaning was that instead of just spending money because we can, be more responsible or fiduciary in how we're doing it and why we're doing it.
I appreciate you guys for... Looking out on the 100%. Abstract on this, I guess,
Well, I mean, we're trying, and like I said, Kaylee and I. So, you know, one thing that when I was talking to Kaylee about it, and we were over here on the second half of my brain trying to figure out how to actually put it into practice, I said, you know, if we do this, it's going to take her longer to process payroll now, because instead of just putting hours in, now we have to code them to specific projects and things. And I said, are you ready to do that? She's like, yeah. I said, you know, I said it's kind of the same thing that we are asking our crews to do on our incident reports. We're asking them to give us more information, more details, tell us exactly what happened on the call. So it's the same for us on our side. We are putting more data in to get better data out, because if we don't do it at the front of it, we won't be able to measure anything. So. We're willing to try it. We know it's going to be a trial and error. It's probably going to take us, you know, a couple of years.
It's a long process.
But we want to at least start on that.
As far as like our apparatus, hours, parts, fuel.
Yeah.
Do we run off state iWorks?
I don't know what state iWorks is. For the
get
fuel,
hold of the county and we
for the fuel,
fuel,
we are on the state fuel card system.
Exactly. And iWorks is an accounting budget thing through the state.
iWorks is
and Buck should be used to this working with the Planning Commission. But it's set up for taxation, maintenance. It runs the gambit. And I think with, you know, items like this, codes and everything, I think it'd be a real tool, a real asset for you guys if you guys
We could look into that. I mean, yeah, we just, you know, spent 2 days at the Cassell conference.
Planning's the only reason that we've ever touched iWorks. So I'll be interested to do some research.
So,
yeah, our mechanics use it.
And it may be that we get so big and so involved that we need to go to a more robust program specifically for that. You know, for right now, we've got some ideas of how we can track it in Cassell and through Image Trend.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Oh, yeah. We'll put it on the
list. You don't need to reinvent the wheel if it's already there.
But like I said, you know, Cassell can still only do so much. And we'll use anything that's to our advantage that helps us achieve our goals. So,
yeah. Awesome. Thanks.
That's what I have.
That's awesome.
Good job.
All right, next is the second review of Ordinance 002-2024, an ordinance that set forth regulations regarding the maximum allowable depth for a dry hydrant drafting supply within the jurisdiction of the North Twillow Fire District to ensure reliable and efficient firefighting operations.
So we kind of went over this already. Have any other questions? Or went over this last month. Do you have any other questions? There's definitely a need to have it.
Buck, did you ever get us an answer on how many we actually have right now?
A total?
Yes. What we have?
There's 7 drafting sites.
Okay. The ones that, Fazio's is no longer ours, but...
Fazio's is still ours.
Fazio's. Well, it's not a drafting site, though. It's just, it's a gravity feed.
Okay. All right. So where are these located then, Buck?
We have... Oh, you're going to test my memory. Let's see.
I am, because I don't know.
We'll add them.
So you have Wildcat.
Okay.
You have Alpine. You have Twillow Valley Motorsports. You have...
right across the street. Is that...
Purple?
Twillow Valley Motorsports. The Wildcat is...
Wildcat,
the
okay.
Don't get me off my list.
Sorry.
It's 3.
There's a tank out at on Burmester for the rehab. I don't know what it's called. The fab shop that's out there on Burmester. There's a new one that is the pot farm. There's the storage right here off of 36. What is that?
The 6.
The explosives plant?
The explosives plant.
Alpine.
That's it.
Yeah, oh, he did? Okay.
There it is. Nice. All 7.
Very good.
Good job.
Okay. And this basically comes from the Hinton Dass studio. They decided that they were going to go, they told me that the theoretical limit was 25 feet. And I says, yeah, we can't do that. Theoretical limits and real limits are two different things, and he proceeded to tell me that he was a water engineer and that so on and so forth. And he says, look, it comes down to this. Our engines can't do it. They're old, they're tired, they can't do it. So if you would just lift those up a little bit, we would all be, well, that wasn't good enough. And I says, he said he was going to take me to court, and I says, you don't need to take me to court. What it will be is a conversation with your insurance company that says we can't provide fire protection to your building because you wouldn't lift it up. And when you can't get insurance on your building because we can't put the fire out, you can't occupy it. So
I bet he left that answer.
So this just gives us a leg to stand on. A lot of the things that we do are subject to AHJ, turning radiuses in cul-de-sac, stuff like that. And it just gives us a little bit more meat that says, well, we don't have to do that. Yeah, you do. Here it is in ordinance.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
And just so everybody's clear, we don't like drafting signs. We want to get rid of them. But
sure.
Until we have... pressurized water sources.
But we're never going to get away from it in our area.
Yeah.
So, that's how it is.
With the more development comes in, the cities are making them bring in infrastructure, so that helps us a little bit.
Do you want to talk about the next item on the list, which is the Marriott and Lake Point?
I would love to talk about it. Do you want to vote on this first?
Or? We have that in our action.
So the Marriott, last month we came and said they want to build. How can we? We can't let them build because it's over 40 feet. And so we needed a ladder truck. We still need a ladder truck. We've done a couple things to help them to allow them to build. One of those things that we've done is we're going to put some defensible space in the stairwells. We'll increase it to 3 hours so that we can rescue people that are on that fourth floor and won't rely on us having to put up a ladder against the window and pull people down. So and then we've also talked about adding pressure to the sprinkling system to make sure that it pumps up to that fourth floor. I think the city will do that for us without having to put a pump in. We have also, and maybe I'll...
Wow, I was going to say, you let me know when you want me to take
over. Let me just turn, let Chief take over from here.
Presented at Lake Point City Council and gave them all the information that we had given to the Marriott people or the builders. And I said, so, you know, really what we're looking for is, we know we're not expecting Lake Point to fund an entire ladder truck. But yeah, you know, let's say we wanted $200,000. And they brought their attorney, and I said, so what we want is permission to start conversations with your attorney so that we would start not an impact fee, because that's only with new construction, but a continuous taxation zone of, or elements of, anything you build from now on that's over four stories tall goes into this fund, which then goes to the fire department. And yeah, the attorney said that's easy to do, and they will work that out. And so he said that there are other agencies and other cities that do just that. That if you have the commitment they wanted was that we will do that with ERDA, and we will do that with Stansbury Park, and anybody who builds over four stories tall won't just be the burden on Lake Point. And I pretty much committed to them, saying yes, you know, we want to have that. We want to have a type of fund that would go into firefighting equipment such as ladder trucks. It was a very positive meeting. The attorney said that's very possible, very doable. He said that they wouldn't even have to, or one of the things that they could do is create an urban development zone, and then everything inside that zone gets taxed. And then I said, well, more than likely it'd be anything that's over four stories tall. And he said, yeah, he says we can do that even more easy than we can at a planning zone. So it sounded very positive on that end of their abilities. They want the development. I had to really confirm that. Said, do you want this? Because we can stop it. And they're like, no, we want them to come here. We want them to build. We know that there are going to be other things over four stories tall in Lake Point or ultimately, Buck wasn't there, but Kim was, and we felt it was a very positive meeting and very willing to work with. So what's that do? That really establishes when they go through, when they hit Civic Works with Buck and he approves it, we want to get your feeling for that, then we have 2 years. So, because the Marriott builders said, even if we dug ground today, we still wouldn't have a completed building for 2 years. In that 2 years, if we were to go over that 2 years, one of the things that Lake Point City Council said is, what if we build a building that has four stories on it, and then we don't occupy that fourth story until you get your people? And I'm like, that's
even worse.
But for us, leaning on the idea is rescue. That's the reason if we want a ladder. So, point is that Buck, myself, Chief Brown, we're at the pretty much feeling like we can do this because we're looking for your approval to give the go-ahead for them to do this stuff, because we do have 2 years. In that 2 years, that's where it goes back to Kim. Not to put any pressure on her, the meeting we had yesterday with Lake Point sponsoring us through a community block or a community development block grant. We try not to budget with grants, but at the same time, we have all these things in favor for us, that we have Lake Point sponsoring us. We have a need in Lake Point for a ladder truck we can get $700,000 out of a development block grant. And Kim is really, really good, right? So
no pressure.
No pressure. We feel that 2 years is warranted, and we can do this. So
how much is a ladder truck?
Almost $1 million. That's just the truck.
1.2 yeah. million, brand new.
Right.
If we were to get, let's say, $700,000, and we felt it best just to get a used ladder truck, we could get a used ladder truck easily for $700,000, and a really good one. But a brand new one, if we ordered it.
Well, we've always needed one because we've had the salt plants, we've got EnviroCare, we've got Safety Clean, Aragonite. You know, those are all in our zones. And like we said before, when we've had problems, we've had to beg the depot.
Yep.
Grantsville has an old truck. You know, if they're available, Tool City, if they're available, the depot, if they don't have anything going, the commander lets them off post. But, you know, we've gone this long without it, but we've been running a ragged edge this long without one, too. I don't know. What do you guys think? Worth it to go after it? Worst thing you can tell us is no, right? On the grant, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, that still puts us in that 2 year window. So it's like we definitely need to be working this problem for 2 years.
Well, we definitely need to be proactive and like we can't be anti-growth on this. I mean, we just can't come and dig in our heels and say, absolutely
not. Oh, last month I was totally no.
I was totally I didn't want to
be in some documentary in 20 years about all the families that died at the top of this hotel.
I'm with you, but even at that, we still had to be moving forward to get this thing going at some point in time.
Anything you wish to?
There's going to be more development. It's not just this Marriott.
What?
Back to my broken record. They plan, the builder who's building the Marriott plans to build a second building and has alluded to that Hilton is coming in as well. So there's three hotels that we know of. This builder has told us that it's not cost effective to build anything under four stories. So these three hotels will probably be four stories. With the land going in at the Inland Park, at the Inland Port, we talked to the builder there and told him, hey, you probably want to consider putting in hotels, truck stops here at the exit. He says, oh yeah, that's a great idea. So again, we might be looking at something like that. So the development is there. We just need that initial push so that we can start getting, those fees to pay to make that, earn that income. So.
Okay.
That's
awesome.
Next is the nomination of Cassandra Ray for the Utah Association of Special District Distinguished Manager Award.
Yeah, just wanted everybody to know that she's been nominated.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Well deserved.
I cried. Yes.
I was going to say, she didn't even get it, and she was crying. I'm like, oh, okay. But we worked with her to really go through her career. We wanted her to know about it. In the past, I've given nominations for people and over awards that they deserved, yet firefighters are notorious for going, yeah, I don't want any awards. I don't want to. And so, they get the award and they're like, well, I'm not going to show up. And I'm like, okay. So we wanted to work with Cassandra. We wanted her to know. I went through a resume, kind of buttoned it up. So you might hear about that in the future.
That's awesome. Great. That's awesome.
Well deserved.
Yep, well deserved. All right, new business review of lease purchase with Pierce Financial Solutions to discuss terms for the purchase of a Type 1/3, I don't know how you pronounce that, engine with a Darrow grant funds.
Kaylee, could you pull up information on the internet? Can you pull up just a Google search? And you can do type in BME apparatus.
Boise mobile equipment, huh?
Yeah, Boise mobile.
I looked at it a lot. This
yeah, put a space. Yeah.
What is it?
Dueling on your keyboard.
Yeah, BME.
Yeah, BME. Okay.
Hold on, I have to share my screen.
Okay, great.
It's the one in the middle.
350 GPM.
No, she's
got a slight screen for sure.
500.
She's 1,000 GPM. She has to be.
Type 1 is 1,000.
Type 1, yeah.
Has to be
1,000 with a 650.
One on the left, heavy screen. There you go.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. So it's got a 750 gallon tank with 700 GPM. Four wheel drive.
Thank you.
Yep, yeah, the one in the middle.
This
if
one?
You can click yeah. on it. I don't know if you click on it. Yeah, so this is a Wildland Urban Interface Engine, and it's designed specifically for Wildland Urban Interface, which is what we do. It has 750-gallon tank, 1,000 GPM. We originally put in a grant for this to replace one of our engines, which was struck by lightning about ten now. Ten, and it just hasn't, quote unquote, it hasn't been right since.
Yeah.
We got a grant through the Diesel Emissions Reduction Act, which means that we have to take the old engine out of service and permanently disable it so it cannot be used again. But in return, they give us 25% of a new apparatus, which is okay. And you know, I'm not going to look $219,000 in the mouth and turn it away. And you all have already accepted that grant, but this is what we're getting with it. How does that equate to getting the whole thing? We're planning to do a lease purchase, which puts it on a 5-year schedule. Or that was the plan, at least until this afternoon. So put it on a 5-year purchase schedule, which then we can possibly use some more funding out of the Wildland Division, because that thing will go out on deployment as well. So there's a lot of benefits to having something like that, not to mention that it will replace an engine that was struck by lightning, and really puts us more into the Wildland Urban Interface arena. It's this afternoon we had a meeting with the Diesel Emissions Reduction Act people, and we have to reduce that down to a three-year lease purchase program. Which I think we can still do. It's within our capital, and we just have to be very cognizant of that. Not any pressure on Kim Moore, but it's part of that CMAQ, that congestion mitigation air quality grant would dovetail right into something like this. So we've got this pretty much ordered. Or we've signed a lease purchase agreement. We just need you guys to approve that. And we had originally said 5 years. I think we just said a lease purchase. It would be a 3-year.
3 years. Annual payment is $153,189, and the interest rate is 4.81%.
And the actual language on that, do we want to cover? No, not that, but what we were talking about. Up to a 3-year.
If we have a motion to approve this tonight, which we are asking for, if you want to say contingent upon confirmation of extension for the DARA grant, because she told Chief today she could get it extended, but she still had to confirm that. So
that was
assuming
it.
She is able to confirm that she can extend the grant from 1 year to 3 years, then we would like to have the lease purchase agreement.
We couldn't do this if it was just one
year. Yeah, if it was 1 year, we wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah,
but makes sense. So that would be the condition.
When are you supposed to find out?
As soon as she said she couldn't email today, so hopefully this week.
Yeah, she was on the East Coast and emailed it through you, so.
Okay. So it's closed business already for her.
Okay. Awesome. Next on the list is the declaration of surplus equipment.
So that leads into the same grant. It's the same engine. Because we have to permanently disable the motor on it, we've had a discussion about what do you guys want to do with it? Do you want to surplus it out for parts? Do you want to, you know, donate the empty shell? I mean, it literally will not have a motor in it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want us to just send it to TNT for auction? But we need to do something with it based on your recommendations.
Is there any hang-ups with if you sell it? Is there a limit to what you can do with the money? Does that have to go back in the apparatus?
Not that I'm aware of. Right now, it would go back into the general fund to just support.
The only thing is, it has to be in pieces. It can't be another.
So it has to be like parted out or something.
Yeah. So
we just can't stick a hammer through the side of the block and send out the truck hole.
The motor will have to have a hole bored through the block.
Yeah. Like permanently disable the motor.
Once that bored through,
then we can
send the whole thing to auction.
Yeah.
Well, let's do that. Let's not have parts laying around here.
The only other thing that we were thinking of is pulling the pump out because it can be used for a training aid. You can cut sides out of the pump to show how a pump works. That's the only other discussion that has been made for as far as the truck.
We robbed quite a bit off of it already.
It's not operational now?
No.
We're swapping a radiator tomorrow.
We've already robbed Peter to pay Paul.
What is it, one of those Pierces?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've taken
both of them. Both of them are out of service because one has a bad radiator in it, so we're going to pull the radiator out of that one. Put in the other one.
Both those trucks have been lemons, haven't they?
Yep.
What would you recommend the best route, then? What would you think?
I think we can take pictures of the hole in the block and do whatever they need to do, and then just send
it to auction.
Disclose
it doesn't have a radiator anymore.
Let's do that then. Yeah. Disclose it to an auction.
And
try to get some money for
that part of a pump.
Yeah. So with whatever pieces we can't use,
great,
then just send it to auction.
Sounds good.
Perfect.
I like that.
For your approval.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Okay. Public comment. Some of you guys missed the first one.
Nothing on my nope.
Nothing. Okay. Action on public.
That truck was pretty sweet. Hopefully we can get it. This is Michael, by the way.
Hey, Michael.
Hello there.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Public hearing for ordinance 002-2024. I'm not going to read that whole thing.
That's fine. We need a start time for the.
Okay. 1945.
So this is the opportunity for the public to say comments, concerns, anything they have about the ordinance being proposed.
Okay.
For or against.
Okay. So do we close?
No, we're going to close it at
1945. Okay.
Okay. So do we have an approval of ordinance 002-2024? Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve that ordinance.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'll vote for that ordinance too. Okay. Next is the approval of lease purchase terms with the Pierce Financial Solutions.
I'll motion to approve the lease purchase with the terms of Pierce Financial Solutions for the purchase of the Type 1/3/3 engine. Based on if we can get the extension
to 3 years.
The grant.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Next is the approval of the surplus equipment. Do we have a motion to
Send it to auction. Yep. Do it again. I'll make a motion to approve the surplus equipment to essentially send it to auction as needed after we're done with the price.
Right? I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, board calendar.
Okay, so in a few weeks, November 6th through 8th, we've got the UASD conference up at the Davis Conference Center. So let's see, I've got Scott going.
Online.
I can't remember. You're online. Rick is online, and you are going.
I'm going.
And then we're probably going to cancel Steve Manzione. Most likely.
Of course.
So, and he can do it online as he is able to. November 20th, third Wednesday, will be our November board meeting at 6:30. That night, we will also do a tentative budget approval. So we'll put numbers to all this stuff.
Okay.
December 18th is our final board meeting of the year. 6:30 here. We will also have a public budget hearing that night for the 2025 budget. And then we will also finalize our 2024 budget as well. So that is upcoming for the board.
What about district events?
October 31st, we've got our truck retreat here at Stansbury again. We're doing another drive-through. The public loves it. It's pretty popular. And we have a pretty decent turnout with that. December 4th, we will have our department Christmas party at the Utah Motorsports Park, 6 p.m. Invitations are going to go out next Monday. So watch for those in the mail. Please RSVP back to Kaylee before Thanksgiving.
My information is also on that card, too.
On the invitation.
Cool.
Okay. And then in January, we've got our standards. Most likely, we'll have participation at the Stansbury Icebreaker event on January 1st. We haven't been contacted yet, but they always wait till the last minute and then they call us. January 24th, 25th, we've got Winter Fire School. We have already decided that we are going to limit it to about 6 firefighters because we're trying to maximize our training. And so we will be very specific in who we send and what they will take.
Also part of our budget, we're trying to send firefighters to different conferences throughout the United States this year.
Oh, nice.
So that's part of our training as well.
Yeah. And with Winter Fire School, Chief Nunn will be teaching. What subject are you doing?
Grants funding.
Grants. So Kaylee and I have been to 2 conferences since the last board meeting. We went to the Utah Fire Administrators Conference and now Cassell, and they were asking like if I was going to teach the grants class. I'm like, no. I think so. In June of next year, we just wanted you guys to be aware, we've been contacted by the National Volunteer Fire Council, and Chief Nunn and Kim have been talking to them a little bit, and so they are going to do some presenting at, is it an annual conference?
Downtown Salt Lake City.
Okay.
It's their annual conference coming here.
Very cool.
So
excellent.
It'll be volunteer retention, yes. Recruitment, things like that.
And thank you, Kaylee. Is it the 17th? 14th. December 14th is our Santa run.
Yes.
So if any of you want to volunteer to be Santa again, Rick?
I'm in.
Or we don't have the Stansbury Park Santa this year.
He's unavailable
already.
Oh shoot!
We also need elves. So if you have family members that want to come help, walk around the truck, hand out candy as we're going along. You know, reach out to your scout groups, your youth groups, whatever. So, same here. We'll be putting that out soon because we need people to sign up. Because we're gonna have probably at least 3 engines go out again. So
excellent.
Santa is magical.
Magic. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Oh. All right. It's our last chance. Public concerns?
Oh, it's a concern.
It's concerns now. It's not comments. It's concerns.
I was gonna say, if it was comments.
It's not that.
One of my best memories is being sent and having a little girl come running up and Santa and full body hug. And just,
I was handed a list last year, which number two on the list was a new truck for Dad, nice. Which I thought was so cute.
You really just
That was so cute.
As far as the concerns go, you know, if you volunteer to be sad, I watch out for maybe an emotional moment. That would be my concern.
What a truck when the painter Santa froze last year.
Can I add something real quick?
Yeah.
The open house we had Stansbury High School.
The HOSA.
They came and helped.
The students.
They were amazing. I mean, sometimes you have some kids that help, and they all helped. I mean, they were strung around.
Health Occupation Student Association.
That's cool.
The HOSA is great.
So whatever they are.
I wish Kirk was here to talk about that. We only have one intern right now. That's correct, right? One intern.
As far as I'm aware.
Yeah, Tanner?
Yeah, Tanner.
We have one intern right now. Our apprentices, the apprentices moved, two out of three moved up.
Part-time.
Two part-time.
Excellent. To add something to that, also, I know that there are a couple of students that came up to Kirk asking about if we do any type of internship. So hopefully in the future...
Yep.
We can get more from that.
Excellent.
Specific. So we currently have two openings for apprentices. We're looking to fill them with interns prior to, and so, but we are making them go through an interview process, and these 18-year-old kids are like, what?
Yeah.
What's a resume?
Yeah, what's a resume?
What's a cover letter?
Yeah, what's a resume? We haven't even started yet.
Sorry, I missed earlier, but last night I was here to add with this kid unit stuff. We did reach out to a company last night to kind of start making waves on ordering skid units. I haven't heard anything yet, but we have started the process to get these on in route to us.
How many gallon tanks, Andrew?
300.
What are we putting them in?
It'll be the two rescues and undecided. So the ox is on its dying end. So we're going to use the rescues as more as a highway, but we want water suppression to go with it. So but it'll be 300-gallon tanks with 5 or 10 gallons of foam, and then we can alter it with whatever. We're going to be well under the allotted grant for the unit itself, so we'll use that as... wiring or extra hose reels or plumbing or whatever necessary to build the truck up to actually be something and useful with the tooling that we have. And then we, myself, Justin, and Captain Arnold are going to Boise in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, to actually take a tour of the facility and look at the truck build.
At BME? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, the one for you.
That's cool. Contact Wayjack Specific, if that's their name on the skid units.
Not sure. I can look it up, but I was here for like 3 hours last night, and we made some pretty good strides on that website. So, but I'll look at Wayjack and see.
If that's still their name, that might be two or three names.
But we found the site that had a huge variety, and maybe we could tailor it to whatever we wanted, really.
We're going to stick with poly tanks, correct?
Yes, yeah. There was everything we ordered was poly and like huge roof on accessories. As far as like a quote.
Yeah.
But there was a variety anything you wanted.
So we'll have to get through.
Yeah.
Okay.
And still, it was well under budgeting on price for what we did see. So it was great. But I wanted you to know, since I wasn't here, that we're still moving forward.
So, excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, one more. Zero fatalities came to open house, too, and there was a good connection with an incident. with public safety, and so I think Chip spoke to him about coming out and possibly doing some training with our firefighters on incident response on IED.
Yep.
So that was a good connection and partnership that came out too.
We should be teaching that.
Right now we don't have any instructors, so we will. Yeah, but based on what we do, yes.
Well, just thinking of partnering with Utah Fire Patrol for a good thing.
Any other public concerns? Okay. Do we need a closed session?
We do.
We do.
Yes.
Awesome.
But I have to ask Cassandra to leave.
Okay. We're going to close our regular meeting at 1957.
We need a vote,
oh.
A motion and a vote, and you need to state legal reason as to why you're having a closed session.
Is it just to discuss
is it a personnel issue?
It's a personnel issue.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you want to make the motion that we go into a closed session? You've made all the other motions.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to go into a closed session for the personnel issue.
Okay. We have a second?
I'll second it.
Awesome. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Okay, so
who leaves?
Everybody
leaves. We need to turn the video off, and we'll need to turn off the
recording.